This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of Gilmore Guys is brought to you by Me Undies. It's a new year, out with the old, in with the new, and you need some new underwear. Probably, you've probably had those ones you're wearing right now a little too long, a little too late. So you need to upgrade. You need to upgrade to Me Undies. Head to MeUndies.com. Choose from a variety of styles in limited edition patterns for both men and women, and they'll be delivered right to your door. It's next level underwear. Every pair is made with their signature modal fabric, proven to be twice as soft as cotton. They don't just feel better than regular undies, they make you feel invincible, like a freaking superhero. And it's guaranteed to be the most comfortable underwear you've ever worn, or your first pair is free. So make a change in 2016 and head to MeUndies.com/GilmoreGuys right now and get 20% off your first order. Plus, shipping is always free for all orders in the United States and Canada. So for 20% off your first order of the world's most comfortable underwear, head to MeUndies.com/GilmoreGuys right now and start feeling good. Downtown James Brown, out with the old, in with the new. Make it MeUndies. What you gonna do? That's my poem to our listeners. Do it. MeUndies. This episode of Gilmore Guys is brought to you by Tidal College's Social Wave for Change. Let's check it out. You guys know what Tidal is. It's that awesome music service, global entertainment platform built for fans directly from artists around the world. And right now, through the end of the month, any undergrad college student at a four-year university can participate in Tidal College's Social Wave for Change to win a Lil Wayne concert near his or her school. Is your college making a difference in your community? ? Share your community service photos or videos to Instagram or the Tidal Facebook page. Use hashtag TidalXChange, all one word, for a chance to have Lil Wayne perform at your school. Lil Wayne. To enter, students can post a photo or video on Instagram or Tidal's Facebook of them completing some sort of community service using Tidal Xchange. That's the hashtag. Hashtag Tidal Xchange. Now listen, you know Rory Gilmore had to do $300 of community service? You saw that on this show, right? Well, be like Rory, and instead of, you know, doing something for a crime you committed, like sailing a yacht, instead, you might get a Lil Wayne concert. So check it out. A panel of judges will choose the finalists, and then the public will get to vote on the winner. Finalists will get a Tidal Silent Disco event at their school, and the winner will receive a Lil Wayne concert. So go to Tidal.com or check out Tidal's social media channels for more info on this. They're at Tidal on Instagram and at Tidal Hi-Fi, H-I-F-I, on Twitter. So check it out. Be a Rory as far as community service goes, but instead you get cool stuff instead of paying your debt to society. Tidal.com. Check it out. This episode of Gilmore Guys is brought to you by Headspace. Now let's be honest. Let's keep it real. Most of your problems start with your mind. Fear, anger, stress, anxiety, depression, sleeplessness, dopey, sleepy, happy, angry. Oh, whoa, I just went into the doors. I'm so sorry. They begin in your mind, the problems, not the doors. But they can wreck your life. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can make a major difference in just 100 minutes a day. Oh, I'm sorry. I read that wrong. I added a zero. I meant 10 minutes a day. Yeah, that's the short amount of time. This change comes through guided meditation with the new Headspace app. Headspace is meditation made simple. So what it is, it's this awesome app. I use it. I love it so much. It's guided meditations that you listen to whenever you want, wherever you want, right on your phone, computer, or tablet. Meditation is rooted in thousands of years of tradition with thousands of scientific studies that show its positive effects, like improving focus. Did I say improving focus? I meant improving. I need to improve my focus right now by doing Headspace. And relationship harmony, it improves that as well, or improves that. And decreasing anxiety and stress. Join over 5 million users already getting a little Headspace for free right now. Download the free Headspace app and begin their Take 10 program for 10 days of guided meditation at headspace.com/Gilmore Guys. The Headspace Take 10 program is a 100% free way to experience the benefits of meditation in your busy modern life. Train your mind for a healthier, less stressed life. Start your free trial today at headspace.com/Gilmore Guys. That is once again headspace.com /Gilmore Guys. Clear your mind, free it up. It looked good doing it. I'm gonna call Headspace. I think that should be their new tagline. La 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 la. Join in, Jamie. La 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 la. Mail, guys.
Holy shit, mail.
And your V-mail. Short for voicemail.
Oh.
Were you going to say D-mail?
No.
Okay.
I don't even know. I was like, I'll start talking and then I'll get it by the end of my sentence.
Which is the premise of this podcast.
It really is.
We're all starting at the beginning of our sentences and ending them. Welcome to Gilmail Guys, episode volume something.
I think it's 14 or 13.
13 or 14.
You'll know, just look at your screen.
And we're joined by this ep institute by Mr. Jamie Woodham.
J-Boy.
Hello.
J-Boy.
J-W.
Our star.
J-Boy.
Our star.
House.
You know who else had the initials J-W? Jesus Weist.
Oh, you know who actually did have the initials J-W?
Who?
Jason Wanzukis.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Jamie's
it's
like...
It's kind of a brotherhood.
Yeah.
This is what this episode is, Jamie.
This is what Gilmails are.
It's cool. I'm just chilling, eating my candy cane.
I can't wait till I get you home for good looking.
Oh, that's a Justin Timberlake song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
JW. Classic.
It's crazy
JW.
How many JWs are.
Stillwater.
Boys, what do we start with? Heard a crime go. Boys, what do we start with? Voicemail, reg mail, or just shooting the breeze?
I like to start with just an acknowledgement that this is the first one of the year. I don't know what new sequence you guys are going to be hearing this in, but it's very fun. We're recording this immediately after 6:06. Just had a blast discussing an episode that was not necessarily a blast to watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is
that's how it happens.
Because here at Gilmore Guys, we turn garbage into gold.
Yeah.
It's always fun to take the piss out of it.
Ain't that right? Well, Mr.
Yeah.
Mr. Oliver.
Oh, should I do my voice again?
Nope.
Yeah.
No, come on.
Oh, my
I know
gosh.
You're going to censor it, but I still say no.
Oh, yeah. Here's an interesting question. Are we... Oh, gosh. Here's a not interesting question.
That was the
Can you
game.
Not?
Yeah, I'm good.
Are we going to be done totally with this podcast by the end of 2016?
You have to be, right?
Yes.
Well, I think so.
I think we are going to be, but when you say this podcast, do you include Bunheads?
Yeah.
Oh,
then
probably
yes.
It'll be close then.
Wait, Bunheads is how many episodes?
18.
It's 18 episodes.
Even if we do like 4 interviews on that show, it would only be like 22.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
wow.
guys do two
I think it's going to be the end of next January. Because the way I have it telegraphed right now, we discussed how planning is going to be for things. I presume the show is going to kind of be done by the end of August. Like Gilmore Guys. By the end of August. Then we go into Bunheads, and then we do the revival. Or actually, here's a question.
Oh,
if the revival happens while we're doing Bunheads...
Do we stop Bunheads? We would have to.
I would say yes.
Yeah.
And I think people wouldn't fault us for that. There's no one who's like, I'm here just for Bunheads.
Yeah.
Although
Amram...
Yeah, there'd be a few who would. But I think we would put that on pause.
Yeah.
Or even worse, try to do both.
Oh, yeah. Like one episode Monday is Gilmore, then Wednesday is Bunheads?
That's not a bad idea.
That's actually not terrible. We'll discuss it, but it'd just be so much work for Kevin mostly.
I feel like by August we're going to know the release dates.
By the way, I'm sticking to my prediction. Some people tweeted at us saying, does Demi think his prediction is different because they made a list of 11 dates for shows that are coming back.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to stop releasing shows after August. I truly believe that.
No,
that...
Netflix is going to quit the business after August.
No,
you know what? We had a good run.
I think that release schedule sort of solidifies my theory.
It just goes to the end of summer.
What is your theory for those of
my
us
theory
like me who don't know?
Is that production will go from February until about June. Post-production will go June to about maybe August. We'll get some buildup. And then I'm saying November at the latest we are going to have new episodes.
Okay, that kind of yeah.
Latest.
I think post would go a little longer.
Really?
Than August. Well, I mean, you're giving them like a month for post, right?
But for 4 episodes that are like,
oh, well, they're like
not really effects heavy. So I'm assuming like color correction.
Yeah, CGI Richard though.
That's true. They do have to do all that.
He's gonna be the Jar Jar of the new season,
or the Paul Walker.
Oh, that's right. We talked about that.
Man.
How he's gonna pull up beside Rory in his car.
In his other Prius.
Yeah. In his, yes. Yeah. Oh, another weird how thing.
Was sorry.
If it's four seasons for the four episodes, how does that affect how they shoot it, too? Does it affect it at all?
Snow machines and indoor shows. Or guess, indoor episodes.
Yeah, and I guess Rose Abdu did say it was always hot as hell when they did cold seasons.
I was going to say, they're always shooting in Burbank regardless.
Yeah. Yeah.
So even when it looks cold, it's definitely not.
Yeah. But yeah, 2017, we're out.
Yeah.
We're done, probably.
And I think early 2017. Like, I think by the time that we do our last few episodes, we're going to be talking about, like, what's the next Star Wars going to be like, yeah, or something. Like, we just saw the new trailer or some shit.
And then, so you guys are then, 2017 is probably when you will transition into Gossip Guys.
Right.
No, already exists.
Oh, really? Yep.
Well, just because a podcast exists doesn't mean we can't do it.
Yeah, yeah, and better, which is the premise for some other Gilmore Girls podcasts.
Well, including ours, kind of, unfortunately. Yeah. It's not the premise, but it is like Gilmore Girls podcast existed. There are a few before us,
right,
and that didn't stop us from doing it because we had a different thing for it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think we should do... I don't think there's any reason to just keep like, just like, I know there's already a podcast for this show, but we want to do it, so we're gonna do it.
Yeah, what's the point?
Unlike my Hamilton podcast, which is both the first and the best.
Yeah. Well, you gotta lock that shit down.
It's done
right after. But I'm saying when that episode airs.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, don't throw away your shot.
People are gonna be scrambling to their Best Buys to get a blue snowball to start recording on.
Oh, where are you going with this?
Well, blue snowball.
Yeah, no, I got it.
The blue balls.
Blue balls.
What was my other point? It was such a good point.
Welcome to Gilman.
I had a really depressing thought that when episode 9 same comes out, I will be 30.
Nine of?
Star Wars.
Oh.
Star Wars episode
that is
nine
going to be.
Yeah, I was 2000... At first I was like, how old are you?
Yeah, I was like, what do you mean episode 9 of Star Wars? That's 2019?
It'll probably be December 2019.
Yeah, probably.
So how old are you now?
26.
Yeah.
I am going
to
be...
I'm going to be like 29.
You'll be 27.
Oh, wow.
Demi, boy genius.
I'm not a boy genius.
I'm a man genius.
Demi Hauser.
Demi Hauser. I did just get my doctorate, so.
You're very prolific for someone of your young age,
thank
though.
You.
Is that annoying?
At the age of 4, I knew the periodic table.
At the age of
10, I had read every... It's not annoying. It's very nice of you to say, even if it's wrong. Let's talk about some mail.
Okay. M-A-L-E. Boys.
Hey.
My boys on TBS.
Not all boys.
Hashtag not all boys.
Is that the hashtag for this episode? No.
No. Let's crack it open the laziest way by listening to some voicemail, and I don't even have to look.
Great.
And this is really playing fast and loose because these are not pre-screened.
Fast and Loose was my nickname in high school.
FNL.
Any which way but
Friday
fast
Night
and
Lights?
Loose.
Yeah. Any which way but fast and loose.
Any which way but fast and loose and furious.
Ooh.
Any there's something there. First voicemail from 615, just kidding.
Oh, God.
Hey, Kevin and Demi. This is Christine from Nashville. So this is a bit of a fluff question, but it came to my mind after seeing Kevin's dog post on social media.
Oh.
Lorelai names her dog Paul Anka, so just wondering if you had to pick a celebrity or TV character to name a pet after, what name would you choose? Love you guys. Love the show. And really hoping you come to do a live show in the Southeast. Bye.
It would be funny to name a dog Victor Garber.
There are so many great names. I actually, just a couple days ago, someone I know got a dog, and they were like, give me a name suggestion for her. And immediately, I was just like, Hermione. That's a good one.
That's not a bad dog name.
Yeah. Or a funny one, I think, would be President Bartlett.
Oh, my God.
Or a dog.
President Bartlett?
My friend has a cat named President Bartlett.
Oh, really?
That is true.
That's good.
Yeah. I wouldn't, if I named it after a character, I would want it to be something that's not so immediately, like, I couldn't do Hermione. Because I think...
I feel like Hermione's very iconic.
Yes, it is.
Whereas Paul Anka is good in the sense of, like, he's a guy, but he's not like... It's not like naming your cat Rod Stewart or something.
Well,
the
I
most
think if you
popular
had a...
person in the world.
Yeah, you really went straight for the top.
Yeah. And if you... I think if you have a feral tomcat, you'd have to name it Alexander Hamilton.
Oh, that's true.
What was you must have thought about this because of like, or not even like celebrity, but just like dog names.
I think I had a list of names that I wanted to give a dog before, and I don't remember what it was. And I think one started with an R, and I was in love with that, and it wasn't Rover, but I don't remember. But
was it Rory?
Yes, it was Rory. I don't know. I couldn't do Rory because everyone would go like, oh, yeah. Roar. Huh.
Yeah, I cannot. I will not name my pets anything tangentially connected to Gilmore Girls.
Me neither. I think that if I were to name it after a person, it depends on how hairy the dog is. If I don't have a very hairy dog, I'm going to Telly Savalas because he's a bald dude.
Who's that?
Telly Savalas? Oh, God. No, I'm kidding.
Come here, Vin Diesel.
Come here, Vin. Boop, boop. Well, I can only name him Vin if he has a litter of puppies.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's all about family.
It is.
Maybe I could name my dog Poland. No, but then my dog would drink itself to death.
Is that Poland? Poland? Oh.
Kind of.
I've always wanted, pet-wise, I want a teacup pig. And there's...
Pet-wise, Gamgee?
So many...
That'd be a good one.
So many name options. One that I thought would be cool for a pig is if you named it And Eggs.
Ham and eggs?
Bacon and eggs.
Cruel. Oh.
And eggs. That'd be nice. I mean, cruel, but the...
Or Hamilton.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. I meant cool.
That's cool. I would... Don't even bother. I see him going for the soundboard, just like, I can open it real quick.
I need it like on speed dial.
You need two iPads, one for soundboard, one for all other
things. By the way, it did not occur to me until literally two episodes ago. You know what might be the easiest way to do the sound clips for this show? Put them on a playlist. Yeah. That thought did not occur to me.
What have you been doing since?
That's what I assumed, yeah.
That thought did not occur to this dumb idiot.
You just have a giant list of every sound clip?
Yes!
What's wrong with you?
And so I'd be like, okay, episode 603, and be like...
Yeah.
Just like scrolling through.
Oh, gosh.
Like a dummy.
You'd get dummy.
Your life.
It was
Kevin.
So stupid.
My final answer is I would name my dog Richard Kind.
Mm. It's Richard Kind. No, that's too much like Paul Giamatti. It's Paul Giamatti.
I'd name him after any talk show host, actually. Maybe say Jack.
Jimmy Kimmel? You would not name your dog Jimmy Kimmel.
I'd name him Kim. I meant game show host.
Kimmel's and Bits.
Osborne. Wayne Brady.
I name a dog Wayne Brady.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what would be a great name?
What?
What would be a great name? Steve Harvey for a dog.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah. Steve. And he'd be like, I'm sorry. I barked at the wrong person. Cultural ref.
I would call a dog Harvey, actually. I like that name.
Harvey's great.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought Clarence would be good. I think I said that on the show before.
Clarence.
Kind of to Clemens, but then like I just think it's a good name for a guy that loves you.
I would name it Tom Bark. So what's the next question?
who's Tom Bark?
Tom York.
Oh,
that's a stretch.
Yeah.
It is a stretch.
Cunningham. Here we go.
Hey guys, it's Paige. So it's wrapping up. Y'all are on season 6, and I feel like it's going to end really quickly.
Tomorrow.
And I was just wanting to know, from this point in the past, what has been your favorite moment? Was it a certain moment in a live show, like the proposal, or was it getting to talk to Kelly Bishop? I was just wondering.
That was Demi's favorite moment.
Getting into some reflection. So let me know. Hope y'all are having a good weekend. Bye.
Jamie, what has
I'll
been your favorite
this question.
Movie?
That's what I was going to say.
here we go.
Favorite moment.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many.
I mean, you've been on all of 6 episodes.
7, though.
Is it 7?
This is the 7th.
This is the 7th.
I think I just tied Trolley.
I feel like Aisha or Sarah might have more.
I think Aisha has the record.
Damn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'll get there.
Favorite moment? I don't know. Every moment's my favorite. Do you like when celebrities give that answer in interviews?
Yeah.
Oh, all of
How
them.
How can I not offend anyone?
It's the Sarah Palin, actually. Which magazines do you read? All of them.
Kick ISIS ass!
Did you watch that speech?
I didn't watch a friend of mine showed me the clip just so she could do an impression of her, but I didn't see the actual clip.
Gone clinging, rootin' tootin'.
It's wild.
It's pretty cray.
My favorite one was there's the vine of
the Iggy
that
Azalea.
Mashed up with Iggy Azalea so rapping. Yeah,
so that's probably my favorite moment of Gilmore Guys is that Iggy Azalea, Sarah Palin vine.
I think that my favorite moments, unfortunately, are probably the ones that people would get like annoyed by, like when we're just having fun and not necessarily talking about the episode. Like those are the ones that I always sit back and go like, God, it's so great to have a podcast.
Yeah.
But that's not the point of this podcast. But I also really like live shows always have fantastic moments for me. Like Mantzoukas' episodes, anytime he goes off on a tangent, it's so fun to be up there and just let the chaos go.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice. And the first live show we did, I truly think was one of my favorites with Jessica St. Clair.
I think it was too.
Yeah.
What, there was like an alchemy there that
people did not like it, which I kind of understand. I think more that they thought she was just like saying fuck this and like trying to spoil things. But I was having more fun than anything. I was not at any point like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, we both loved it so much.
Yeah.
I think it might have been that first live show that we did. Might have been the coolest moment.
Right.
And then like, because it's not even like, oh, I like, I touch Kelly Bishop's hair or whatever it is, you know.
Meeting the cast has been cool, but it's also just, it feels like it's not becoming friends with them as much as it is like sort of hanging out with them, and also we record. Like, but when we're doing live shows, it is kind of like being friends with someone because you're just having fun.
Totally.
Gabs are so much more different of an alchemy than...
It's a little more formal.
Yeah.
I think for me at least, when we were all on set at the same time shooting for the revival,
that was great.
That was definitely a highlight for me.
It's
different watching it and being in it and having been in it like we all were.
Well, because Amy loves improv, and I think like we really just brought it.
It was great that
she respects the make-em-ups.
Yeah,
I really loved how you, Jamie, were fitted for an Italian chef's costume, and I loved that you were fitted for that rice patty hat.
They come in way more sizes than you would think.
Yeah. That terrible rice patty hat that you had, which is not of the right race at all, but, you know, lovely to see you in it. And I love that I was fitted for those ballet, the tights.
The tap dancing.
Yeah.
Fitted for them you were.
What actually might be one of my favorite, but I, it's getting to talk to people after live shows and then, like, having, because, you know, like every point of connection is cool, but then, like, getting to just, like, talk to someone face-to-face. And they just like are because it's just like mutual gratitude, like thanks for coming, thanks for doing it, and just like that's a really lovely exchange.
It's also cool to talk to people after shows where we aren't really fielding questions about Gilmore Girls. It's just kind of like hanging out.
Yeah,
yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, although that proposal was an all-time great.
Honestly, I was sweating bullets until, because we knew about the proposal. He set it up with us, and we were like,
Robert
what's
emailed
the best
us
way to
before,
do this?
Yeah.
We were immediately just like, we have to do this. How are we going to do it in a casual way? And when the Q&A came, when I was like, oh.
I thought you were going to do it later, because we were only two questions into the Q&A.
I was specifically waiting for you to walk away from where Robert was so people wouldn't think something was happening. Because if you were far away and you had to walk up, then it wasn't you lounging around waiting for the proposal to go down.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, now's the time.
Yeah.
I should have waited a bit longer. But
it's fine. It's just we got some weirdo questions after that it was, I cut out.
Oh, really?
I cut out some of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Some of them.
It would have been amazing if he like said, like, will you marry me or whatever? And then like into the microphone if she was like, I've said yes to a lot of people before and not meant it, and I don't want that to happen to you. Like, just deliver like the Logan line from 606.
Yeah.
What would have happened if she had said no?
It would have gone viral and been hilarious.
If Samantha had said no.
I think literally the only thing we would have been able to do is make jokes about it and then keep going. I think we.
That would be.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
I was going to say, making jokes about it would be so uncomfortable, but not more uncomfortable than trying to just go like, oh, man, that's a bummer. Anyway, like making jokes about it breaks the tension.
Yeah.
And they probably would have left anyway.
Yeah.
They're not going to just sit there after a no.
That's my dream. Even more than like I want to see a proposal at a live show of mine, I want to see a proposal where they're just like, we need to talk. Like, let's... Let's
no no no
let's,
you know, no, 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 no
let's talk let's not talk on the microphone.
Done? I would have
it's always
there
so
would have
awkward.
Been a terrible silence and then just bring ding 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 ding. I would have still hit Wedding Bell Blues.
Oh no.
No, that's where you hit the Taylor. That's not cool.
Hang
on. No.
Get the playlist ready.
That's not cool. Oh, I put it on a playlist, you say?
I do think that...
That's not cool.
That's not cool.
That's it.
I do think, I mean, obviously she's going to say, you don't ever propose in public unless you are sure.
Pretty confident.
Yeah, but people do, because there's plenty of hilarious videos out there.
It's crazy. It is your fault if you do that. If you're not sure about you're going to get a yes, don't put it in front of people.
I feel like that's, I mean, I don't think the public proposal is usually the way to go anyway.
I think it's sweet.
That's for...
We love them.
Yeah, no, they're great.
Also, if anyone else wants to propose, keep them going.
But no, I think that's kind of... We mentioned before, I don't think we were recording, but we said something about, like, being married... Kevin said something about, like, do you think you guys will get married more than once? And me and Demi were both like, we don't even know if we'll get married once. Yeah. And I feel like that might be one reason why is, like, I don't even know if I'd ever be, like... Oh, bachelor they're definitely going to say yes.
Well, then, like, I think you need a Lorelai to say it for you.
Mine is, I feel like if I was ever in a relationship with someone for long enough that marriage is just like inevitable, it's not even that you don't know if you want to marry them. It's just you talk about it. You never spring it on someone like, I guess it's time. And I'm telling you for the first time in front of all these people.
Yeah,
it's a combo.
It would be a sweet combo.
But my joke was more like, who's going to stay with me long enough to get married?
Yeah, no, that's where I'm at.
Here's another voicemail.
Wait, did we answer the question? What was the question?
Favorite moment.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, we did.
Yeah.
I always get worried.
Hey, guys. My name's Elliot. You might have seen me as at Who Else Elliot on Twitter. And just wanted to ask you guys that I recently cycled through the series again, and I'm noticing a lot of rhyming in some of the storylines. An obvious example is the Huntsberger dinner, which is very similar to the Gilmore's dinner
rhyming.
With the Dean in the first season.
Yeah.
As well as Christopher knowing about and then not participating in Rory's life and then changing his mind, compared to Luke's initial reaction to learning about April and then his similar path, albeit condensed into a shorter time period. I was wondering what you thought about the use of this kind of repetition and if there are any instances that you've seen that you you find particularly interesting and what you thought. Thanks, guys, and have a great show.
Do we want to talk about it because it has April stuff in it?
I mean, I don't want to talk about the April stuff, but we don't have to.
Okay.
I think, because I still don't even know, I technically don't know who that is. I've never seen an episode with her, but people talk. I think that... The rhyming thing of, like, them sort of doing repeating storylines with different characters, I can never tell if that's...
Intentional or not? Right,
yes.
Yeah, neither can I.
Because I feel like if it was intentional, it would be mentioned by a character. Like, this is just what happened with this. Because it's always on the opposite side.
We got fed up with it in 605 with, like, he's not good enough. She's not good enough. He's not good enough.
Yeah.
We're done.
I think it's because that is such a high society thing of someone not being good enough. And... The only dynamic of Lorelai or Rory and Emily is class. So, of course, they have to play the not good enough thing between them at all times. But when Rory gets involved, it's just a weird thing of, like, is she good enough? Is she not? Because it's like, is she more of the bloodline that Richard wants to set or more of the style that Lorelai raised her to be?
Yeah.
Because she feels so comfortable in Emily's skin, mm-hmm. but she... was raised by Lorelai. Lorelai is what she should be like, but she does fall somewhere in between. Yeah. And that's interesting, but it's not interesting to keep playing that the idea of is someone good enough.
I just don't know if they're expanding on the original conceit of that idea.
That's the problem.
Is there anything that's like, oh, that comes back in an interesting way? Is there anything in the stories?
What they should have done...
By the way, anytime someone says rhyming, I always think of George Lucas. Right.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking the same thing.
It rhymes.
Yeah.
Wait.
The prequels?
I haven't seen the prequels.
I thought to a slightly lesser extent of The Office, because they do that. They bring things full circle with The Office, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a making of documentary about, like, Phantom Menace or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And he says about the story, like, I forget what the full quote is, but George Lucas,
it's the ring theory. It's that they all rhyme.
It rhymes.
It's where it's sort of a mirroring thing, but yeah, it's episode one. It's as you go closer. So it's episode one and episode six rhyme, episode two and episode five rhyme, and then three and four rhyme. Hmm. In that the stories and the journeys and the emotional arcs are all intentionally similar.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if JJ thought that for episode seven.
I don't know. What rhymes with seven?
Cat's the question.
Sleven.
Kevin.
Heaven.
We need to talk about seven.
There's your Star Wars podcast.
That's a cool one.
Just a podcast about episode seven, though. I did hear an interesting thing. This isn't even adding to the conversation there, but I will say real quickly, I heard an interesting theory about episode seven that, like, they purposefully wanted it to be, it wasn't just a reboot of New Hope, it was literally all three of the originals condensed, which I feel like, because the final fight is the same as the final fight of Return of the Jedi, which I loved so much about both of those, but they wanted to do that to get the feeling of a full trilogy in one movie so they can move on. Mm-hmm. It was not just to sort of be like, and next we're doing Empire again. It was, we did all of it
that
now.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And I like that. I know that I like that they know they cannot do a fourth Death Star.
I wonder, because there's like parenthood questions arisen. So it's like they could do another Empire.
They could. I would like to believe that it is just a, it's not even someone we know.
Fox Mulder.
I want to believe.
Yeah, what if she's his little sister and that's the thing?
If Scully's Mulder's little sister?
No, I Ray. That.
That's
Ray who doesn't know Ray who was taken by aliens and doesn't know who left her.
Is whose little sister?
Fox.
Finn?
Fox's sister.
Oh.
Mulder?
Ray Charles is Fox Mulder's sister?
This is actually a good theory and we're all getting confused.
No, it's not. Who's Fox? It.
Hi, Kevin and Demi. This is Nicole from Las Vegas. I was just wondering, how would your parents have reacted if you were back in college and decided to take some time off from school? So thanks for listening, and have a good weekend, and please come to a show in Las Vegas. Thanks. Bye-bye.
I guess my parents would mostly react, oh my God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with all the blood? We killed him.
Yeah. Wait, how do you think your parents would have reacted?
They would straight up be like, that's not happening.
Yeah, same.
They would not only go, that's not happening, but they would do everything in their power to, like, make sure that I could not even live, like, outside. Not live, but, like, it's like, all right, credit card's gone, car gone, like, all that shit's gone. And I think also they probably would have just been like, then transfer schools. If you are truly too bothered at this school, transfer schools. My sister transferred schools. It was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think my parents would have allowed it, but they would have hated it.
That
and
also
resented me for a little bit.
It would have been a big fight, and then, like, yeah, I think they would have done that. Because if they came to the conclusion that, like, there's literally nothing they could do, they would be very mad at me, but I'd have, like, what are we going to do?
I don't know if they would have, like, cut me off. What would your parents have done, Jamie?
I think same as Demi's. I wouldn't be able to do that. Yeah.
So it's interesting, like, yeah, that's a good way to, like, put ourselves into the discussion.
Yeah. Here's I think that's why the Gilmore Girls version seems so fantastical, is because they're all so rich that, like, they just let her and it doesn't matter. Like, if I was like, yeah, I'm dropping out of college now, they'd be like, oh man, that sucks that you're about to be homeless. That blows.
That's a bummer.
Like, yeah.
Dude.
They would, like, they'd be like, well, I guess you.
How would you guys react if your kid, A, didn't want to go to college out of high school, or B, dropped out midway?
I think it depends on the circumstances.
Yeah.
Because especially now, like, college is nowhere near as, like,
valuable.
Necessary. Yeah, or valuable even.
Attitudes have even changed that much in the last 10 years since this was on.
It definitely depends on what they want out of not going to college.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they want to be a doctor, I'd be like, no, you should probably go to college.
Yeah, you probably need your degree for that. But yeah, I mean, if it is like, you know, you got like some Steve Jobs type kid who's like, I don't want to do this. Like, I'm just brilliant at this one thing.
I just want
to start
my own company. Songs in my daughter's pocket.
Yeah, yeah.
Put 1,000 songs in your pocket, Lisa. I would then go, okay, then you are working on it right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But if they dropped out midway, if it's a Rory situation, I would give them a pep talk and be like, Mitchum is a fucking idiot. Let's go talk to him.
Because the Rory situation is literally just like, I don't know.
It seems like a discussable thing.
Yeah.
Like, even just like a call up Mitchum and be like, is this really what you said? Do you really believe that? Could she work towards it? Do you, like, just, I feel like questions should be asked more than just being like, what? How? What? Well, we're never talking to Mitchum again.
I almost said you're true. You're so true, Demi.
I'm so true.
But that is, like, something we haven't even examined. Like, where is the discussion.
Yeah.
How are you feeling, Rory? Why do you feel this way? Can let what is it that you want?
It is wild to me.
They're literally just like, yeah, you can stay here and like live a life of luxury for as long as you want and not go back to school.
But it's wild to me that Richard doesn't ask why she's dropping out or what prompted it. Doesn't talk to, like,
well, I think they're blinded by the fact that she like chose them over her mom.
Yeah.
And they're still sort of reveling in that. And they, and I think that's where they kind of on in at the end of 606, they kind of, that's when they finally get to the place of like, okay, I think this is actually not a good thing.
Yeah.
Like now that the you
know, shoe's dropped.
Yeah.
With Mitchum.
Yeah. And they're, you know, now that the sort of buzz has worn off of like, she chose us, she's on our side. Like, take that, Lorelai. Then it's like, okay, this isn't actually the best thing for her.
I am just so curious as to what Emily and Richard think Rory dropped out for. Like, why do they think she dropped out? Do they know? Do they care? Because I feel like that would be my first question as to when she's like, I'm dropping out, why?
Maybe it's just like a blanket, well, you know, young kids, they go through a lot. And and maybe it would matter more, if it wasn't Rory. Yeah, why don't they care?
I don't know.
Yeah.
What do they think it is? Like, she would suck in, so
even just general, like, she's not motivated to do the same things anymore. I'd be like, does she want to do something else? Like, she's just going to... I don't know. I feel like...
there's some simple diagnostics that were not addressed.
Yes. Yeah. She go for... their plan is to essentially wait until she decides to go back. I feel like my first plan would go, okay, if you don't think you can be a journalist, what's the next step? What else do you want to do? How can I help you do the next thing?
Yeah.
Instead of just like, you know what, let's just chill for now. It's like a cool professor. It's like, hey, I know you're failing, but it's cool. Come come talk to me after class. Oh, it's don't even worry about it, dude. Turn that assignment in whenever you want. Because they'll do it eventually. No, they won't.
Yeah, well, I think it's from the beginning, they need to have been like, okay, if you need a break, so like the first thing should have just been like, okay, so you'll take one semester off.
Right.
And then and figure out what you want to do if it's not journalism, and then you're going back like on this date, and just have her be like, yeah, okay. Like that, you know, sort of agree to some sort of plan or something.
Set up some guidelines, set up some goalposts.
Kids want boundaries.
Kids love boundaries.
They really do.
They need a daddy to give them boundaries.
Oh, okay.
What? We're all in agreement.
Nope.
No.
We, okay. No, you do the next one.
Hello, Kevin and Demi. My name is Patricia, and my question is this.
So,
if you were the casting director for the revival and can choose any actor to be Tony, a.k.a. Rory's new boyfriend or husband, who would your dream actor be? I reckon your answer is not going to be Milo, so let's hear it. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Okay, so presumably this actor is young, early 30s.
By the way, did you see Mandy Moore posting Instas of her and Milo chilling?
No.
No?
I think they might be dating. I don't know.
You know what? Good for them, and I can't wait to hear the Ryan Adams song about
it. Hooray for love. When he covers all of Katy Perry's album next.
Ugh. Yeah.
I like it.
I don't, but I also think, I mean, my theory is that he made the songs I didn't like better, and he made the songs I did like worse. So overall, I'm just kind of like, well, I don't like it.
Ideal guy? Maybe Miles Teller. Or Ansel Elgort. What's his name?
Ansel Elgort? Yeah, Elgort.
Okay, Ansel Elgort. Neither of those sounds
like a sneeze.
Well, let's pick an age.
His name sounds like a mid-century painter.
Ansel Elgort.
I'm Ansel Elgort.
In the 17th century.
I think of Ansel Adams.
I'm working Ansel with Elgort. Pastels.
Well, this would have to be age appropriate, too. Rory will be 33 or 32.
Chris Pratt. He's everything.
He's goals.
He's goals.
I would... who's like a good...
Oh, Oscar Isaac.
Ooh, that's not bad.
Is that age? He seems kind of...
He's like late 30s.
He seems like late 30s.
Well, yeah, folks, he might actually
Oscar
be like 40s.
Isaac is... I said Oscar Isaac is 36.
Oh, wow.
That's in the ballpark.
It's not bad. I would have thought
he'd be older. But it's also Hollywood-y of like, he's older than her.
Yeah. I mean, most people aren't the exact same age as their partner, though.
Right.
So.
I'd say plus or minus 5 years isn't that creepy.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Donald, 15.
Donald Gleason. I just want anyone who's
from
been big
Force
this
Awakens?
Year. Yeah.
Then I say that chick from Game of Thrones.
Which one? Gwendolyn
Natalie
Christie?
Dunner?
Yeah. No. She's too tall for her.
I am not comfortable with the fact that I said that chick from Game of Thrones.
I will say, though, Richard would be pleased. She's so tall.
She's tall. Oscar Isaac would be good. Hold on, there's one more. There's one more I'm overlooking.
Who's like casual enough that it actually could happen? Is my thinking. Because like these people, yeah, Kanye. These people are just too big no. for that.
Who was like a good Josh Radnor? Just kidding.
Oh boy, Woody Allen.
Woody Allen.
That'd be so funny.
Take me to Stars Hollow. I don't. Do we get a room in the Dragonfly, or are we going to stay at your mom's house?
I hear there's gonna be a recital later of Patty's. Can we go?
I don't like this Michelle character. I don't like him.
He's got a temper the size of a Buick.
And his son is mistakably Italian.
I take offense to that.
Hey.
I just realized, if this comes out before 6:06, everyone's going to be like, what the fuck?
It won't.
Okay.
It won't.
Good deal. Good deal. Callback City.
Best show since Broad City.
Back City, bitch. Back City.
Not as political as
Spin City. I guess we're saying Oscar Isaac. I want to come up with one.
I can't think of anyone else. Why?
I'm just going to look through IMDb's star meter and let's see what our options
are. Wait a minute.
Jim Sturgis.
Wait a minute. Michael B. Jordan?
Yeah! We did it!
Michael B. Jordan as Rory's husband.
Very parenthood.
What? True. So it'd be like, you know, there's a connection there.
Yeah.
The first time she Spike hasn't Lee. Had a rocky relationship.
Uh-oh.
Hey, some white dick.
What? Yes, but also.
Oh my God.
Wow.
That's the best thing that's ever happened.
That's fantastic. Do not cut that out.
Okay.
Here I was going to try
hashtag
and make
hashtag white dick.
He's capping off her Fantastic Four boyfriends.
Oh, shit. Oh, man.
Fruitvale Station.
I was about to make a joke on that, and I was like, I don't want to do that.
He's going
to
love her with arms wide open.
What was that?
Creed.
Oh, God. Nice. Ooh, a bit of a two-jumper.
Michael B. Jordan. Michael B. Jordan is Rory's husband.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And obviously, there's no way that would happen, but wouldn't it be nice?
You never know.
If Creed hadn't come out.
A boy can dream.
All of the star meter is people we've already said. Like people, it's like Donald Gleason, Oscar
Isaac.
You mean
it's Gwendolyn Christie. Short list for like every leading role they're trying to cast?
Yes.
Well, like that Han Solo stuff.
Oh, Rami Malek.
Dave Franco. Rami Malek.
I don't hate Rami Malek.
Yeah. He's already technically a character.
Who's that?
Mr. Robot.
Oh, that's
he's already
right.
technically a character, but...
Make him the same guy.
Yeah.
He's technically a character?
He was someone in Lane's study circle in 4:11.
I think he's a little... he's too intense for Rory. He's too intense. Those eyes.
Eddie Redmayne.
No. As the Danish girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Progressive. Let's go to the next question.
Oh, this is actually a very real possibility. Hayden Christensen. Not only is he her type, but he whiz free.
Yeah, he doesn't
he's
act
available.
Anymore. Or he just got
he just
back
started
into
back.
Acting.
Yeah.
But it doesn't he just... He only does like Christian.
Rory, movies. your skin is so soft.
It's rough and coarse.
Not
and
like the sand.
It gets everywhere.
Oh, your skin is?
Yeah.
Rory, get some lotion.
From where I stand, the Gilmores are evil. I have the upper ground, Rory.
Next question.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Hey, guys. It's Piper from San Francisco.
Hi,
Piper.
Just listening to 602 with Bailey, and you guys are talking about Lorelai replacing Rory with Paul Anka. And I was just wondering if you guys felt like when you... grew up, moved away, if your parents ever replaced you with a pet or a hobby or something you got really into. And my mom definitely, she got two dogs right when my brother and I moved away. So I always thought it was funny when Lorelai did that too. Anyways, love the show. I think you guys are doing a great job. Bye.
Thanks.
It'd be funny if Piper's parents got two new dogs and just the dogs' names were if New Piper.
Yeah,
and
Piper
New
too.
Ben or whatever.
Piper's parents' pets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
Peter Piper's parents picked a peck of pickle pets.
Aw.
P cubed.
My parents didn't do that, and it's funny because I talked to my mom when I went home saying that she should get a dog, and I wanted to get her a dog for Christmas, and she was like, you better not. She was very much like, you guys being out of the house means I don't have to take care of more
things. Didn't get to meet mom, by the way.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I met your dad real briefly and your sister.
Yeah.
But your dad seemed real cool. But I didn't get to, not that your sister didn't. No, like, your dad
my dad's
cool.
much cooler than my sister. Drives a motorcycle.
Would have been awkward if he was like, yeah, I met some of your family. They were all terrible. But yeah, I didn't get to meet
Here's
your mom.
Here's a funny story about my dad real quick. I told you that he worked for the government, right? Or works.
Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently working for the government on any level means that they have to run checks on you. Yeah. And some of those, because you need clearance. And some of those checks are, they talked to our neighbors as members of the FBI and said, they asked us questions about our family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's just, they nice. Interviewed our neighbors. Just so for a while, our neighbors are like, is Mr. Dijuibe in the FBI?
Oh, wow.
Which, if my friends had known this, would have fueled the blood diamond.
Oh, yes, yes, the blood
only
diamond.
Only worse. So.
I had to talk to a government agent when a friend of mine became Border Patrol in Texas.
It's crazy.
It's a really interesting process. Nice. It was so sad that your family was all the way at the back for the show.
Yeah.
We could have saved seats.
I didn't know how many were coming.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be like, well, four of you can sit up here and then the rest will sit in the back.
Yeah, I guess that was the... But my mom had our childhood pet at home after we all left. So it didn't replace it, but I think it just continued like that sense of family. Because even though her and my dad were and are still married, my dad lived in New Jersey for 9 years working. And so she was home alone that whole time, which is
like
junior.
Macaulay Culkin.
Much like Macaulay Culkin. Or a gay man getting an advance on money. So she...
What?
Home Alone.
Oh, my God.
That was good.
Cutting that out.
Or like Jenna becoming a prostitute. Home Alone.
Oh. Home
yeah,
Alone.
You should cut all of that. No, I'm kidding.
I cut out all this stuff in 605 about, like, is that dude gay? I don't know.
I mean, it's fine to not do that, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting discussion because
be real?
I think other people... will also think the same thing. So having that discussion, in which no one said anything offensive, is sort of just like acknowledging that idea and then sort of bringing the idea of like, well, is that offensive? Is it not? To the table.
Right.
It's not offensive to think that, but it might be offensive to just say, yes, they are, this guy's, I don't know. I don't think it's a bad discussion. I don't think anyone's going to be like, shame on you.
Mm-hmm. I thought that about that diversity and late night discussion too. That turned out to not be the case.
I thought people loved that.
A lot of people did.
Aside from people who were like, if only you had a woman in the room.
Yeah.
Which I get, but also.
No, but then people also said I was racist and terrible.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, oh yeah.
I mean, they had a good point, to be fair. But
No.
People are going to say that no matter what you talk about. There's always going to be a few people that
I
are
don't
just
think
like...
People will always say they're racist.
No. I meant that, like, I think if you talk about anything like that, there's always going to be a few people that are, like, just by bringing it up, you're, like, part of the problem. But I think you can talk about an issue without...
I think I'm going to call it the Macklemore paradox.
Yeah.
Because, it is. And this is true... I'll say that because when Macklemore is rapping, people accuse him of appropriation. When he speaks out about appropriation, how bad it is, people say he's just like, we don't need your help. So it's like...
Yeah, so it's like, what do you want him to do?
Exactly.
Yeah, and he's trying to contribute.
He's trying to contribute, but there's not really a good way to do it as a person who is not part of the marginalized group.
Do you think he's like, his heart is in the right place?
His heart is absolutely in the right place, but it's such a tricky thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that Mark Ruffalo has been doing. He speaks out about Oscar So White, and he's very supportive of the boycott, and he talks about how there's a race problem. But still, you get the sense of, like you're doing this to defend yourself. It's like you're being like, I'm with you guys. I know the problem.
It's like covering the bases, in a way. That's why I feel like, and that's why maybe it hasn't come up so much lately on the show.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if it would. But just like anything having to do with like, I don't know.
Social politics.
I guess, just social politics. I feel
that's my thing. let's rap.
UNSP, bro. By the way, someone legit thought I was a Scientologist the other day because it's in my UCB bio.
Oh, man.
I saw it because you joke about it.
Someone wrote in to say that my bio on our website is wrong.
You're not Dulé Hill?
And I'm not David Oyelowo, and I'm not dead. It's a pastiche of like four different black actors I've been accused of being. Yeah. That's the joke.
Oh, but anyway, to the point of social politics, I was just going to say, I don't like talking about it anymore because I feel like... And tell me if you think this is off or on.
Right.
And I'm happy to be corrected.
That's
not
cool.
Or guided. Hang on. Oh.
That's not cool.
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like people who are a part of the marginalized group, when they speaking out about those issues, there's a trust there that's very implicit and obvious, because it's like, yeah, because you're a part of the marginalized group.
Right.
Whereas in Macklemore's case, or in the case of like someone like Jamie or myself, who also wants to have like a good heart for that stuff and be teachable and learn, if we don't have everything just right for that, if that makes sense, if we haven't done like as much research as we need to, considered as enough things as we need to, and have as balanced a perspective as we need to, what we say is kind of open to disaster. Whereas people in the marginalized group, that's not as much the case, because that perspective is not false, because that is the perspective.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean by that? Yeah. So for me, I guess it's just not like, does that make sense?
Yeah. I think literally any time that race is, or race specifically, but like any sort of talking about a marginalized group, whether it be women or the LGBT or race, I think that the problem there is on either side of it, it seems either defensive or misguided. If you are a marginalized person speaking out about your marginalization, it sometimes feels like, well, of course you'd say that. You'd get the benefits of that being fixed.
Right, 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 right.
But if you're someone from the outside saying that, it kind of feels like you stepping on their podium to say what they would have said. So which it's
like, oh, I need a white man to say that or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like when people criticize us for being like, oh, we're validating Gilmore Guys because we're men. And that's not what our intention is to do, but that's what it can seem like.
Yeah.
And I think the thing there is just taking the marginalized voices as someone who's not marginalized and magnifying them. It's like us taking the voices of women and magnifying them. But it's hard to do that because it's hard to... Because
then you seem like Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, it's hard to magnify the marginalized voices without also saying your own thing about it. Because people, it's like, what's retweeting, what's quote retweeting, adding to it? Like, what becomes your voice then? And also,
that's an interesting word picture.
When you are magnifying someone else's voice, if it becomes yours, like, I just lost my train of thought, but it's like when you take someone else's said and you sort of like push it through, it is hard for people to hear that if they are part of the problem. But when the person who is not marginalized is saying that, sometimes it's easier to get through. It's like, oh, people won't listen to a woman when they speak about women's problems, but sometimes they listen to a man, which fucking sucks. It's awful, but it does happen.
Yeah.
So is the thing to raise the voices of women so they can still not be heard, or is it to speak the things women are saying as a man so they can be heard? This is a weird discussion.
Yeah.
How do we always get into this on
podcasts? I don't know. I pushed but it like, there. I'm sorry.
I also hate...
We kind of got it. We had a good discussion last time I was here, too.
Yeah.
That was when we got
I 100% cut out of that episode. I cut every last second out of that.
Because I remember I was like, huh, no one's written in about this, but it's like, whatever. I think these discussions are good to have, but it's always just so tricky because I don't want people to think that we're patting ourselves on the back like, it's a good thing we're feminists, which is why I hate talking about that kind of thing. But also, it's important to...
Should I cut all of this out?
No, don't. Actually, part of me is like, cut it all out just so people don't have to fast forward through a lot of it if they don't care. But it's not a bad discussion. Anyway.
Yeah, and I didn't mean that to say like, ugh, me and Jamie have to do so much research.
How did we get here also? Because weren't we talking about whether or not our parents want pets?
Yeah, that was the
what
question.
What keeps happening? This is like that scene in The Other Guys where they keep getting offered tickets and then they're like, God damn it, we got tricked again. We keep getting one thing and then it jumps to another thing and then all of a sudden...
Was that really the question? There. What was the question?
That was the last question.
Well, then let's play the next question.
Yeah.
Hi. I don't even know what to say. I just love you guys so much. My name is Morgan, and I love your podcast, and I've been watching Gilmore Girls since I was a little girl, and you guys are doing an awesome job. I have nothing else to say. Love you guys.
Good question.
Okay, so Jamie, do you want to take this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer pertains a lot to third wave feminism, so I'll start there.
Next question.
Hi, boys. It's Brianne calling from Boston. I was talking to my coworkers last time about this, and I know this isn't Gilmore related, but what are two things that you think that exists today that will not exist in 10 years. You'd be surprised at some of the things people said. Just want to ask you a weird question. Thanks. Love you guys.
I don't have enough guidelines. Things that exist today that,
today
won't,
that
exist.
Won't exist in
I
10
think
years.
A good example, I brought this up last night. I have a friend who just started watching How I Met Your Mother for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it aired like 2001.
Oh yeah,
two-ish.
You did say this yesterday.
Yeah, and her first text to me after she started watching it was, "Oh my God, so many flip phones." So
flip
I think that
phones.
Flip phones. Yeah. I think that's an example of like 10 years ago. I think everyone had like Motorola Razors, blah blah blah. But there's flip phones are kind of gone. So maybe yeah. that like in a technological sense.
I tell you what, I love flip phones in narrative TV.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it puts it in like Breaking Bad. It puts it in I'm not noticing, oh, so they didn't update the OS.
Yeah.
you
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
Like it totally takes the time period off. It's just like, oh, a flip phone is so small that it's just
in Breaking Bad it's especially intriguing because it's almost like it's not really them saying this is what phones were used at the time. It's like burners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't feel out of place for them to use it. It doesn't feel like, oh, remember the 2000s?
Totally.
Well,
totally.
But I think even like Hank and Marie have flip phones too.
I think it all feels casual just because
yeah.
of how it's used as burners as well.
Something that won't exist. I mean,
obviously racism, right?
I think it's on the way out.
Yeah.
Thanks to
let's
us.
See.
That talk we had a few seconds ago really got the nation talking.
I'm trying to think. Ooh, I have one. Apple Watches.
Yeah,
you
think
that's
going
to crash and burn?
I just think they're the new Google Glass.
I almost said wearable technology at all, but I think it's going to, if it doesn't go away, it's just going to become better.
Yeah, it'll be more integrated, I think.
There's going to be some sort of breakthrough.
We're going to have like contact lenses that are Google Glass-like, I think.
Spam email. And I mean physical spam. Like, I don't think it's going to be – you're going to get valued customer mail from Time Warner Cable just from moving into a building.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I would say cable packages as they exist.
That's what I was
going to
say. That's
years.
So weird. Yeah. yeah.
They couldn't. There's, like, no
why
like,
would
way
I,
to sustain
why would I
that.
Pay for H – well, I guess.
I also think that in that same thing, I think network and cable – will fall from the majority to the minority as mm-hmm. far as TV programming goes.
You know what I think is going to actually exist in 10 years that doesn't now is live streaming cable.
Live stream cable?
Like, I think you can...
It does kind of... It exists a little bit on a few channels. They will live stream. Like, if you have a DirecTV login, you can get on and watch, like, oh, this is what's on CBS right
really?
Now.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that'll be think bigger so. Then because yeah. it's wild. And also, I think all of the networks are going to consolidate into not doing this thing where it's like, go to CW.com to watch only these shows and you pay for a CW login and a something else
Hate
login.
It.
It's yeah, the worst. Yeah. I almost don't want to watch shows just because of that. Like,
yeah, so watch Jane the Virgin now before it gets yanked off Netflix.
Exactly, or Hulu.
yeah.
yeah, I don't know what else won't exist. There aren't too many things I'm confident won't
You know
exist.
What else won't exist? Gilmore Guys.
It might
oh,
exist.
I won't.
No, yeah,
next
won't.
Question.
10 years from now.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Demi. This is Cassie calling you from San Diego.
Hi.
And I had a question related to kind of how you guys are going to feel once the podcast is over.
Oh,
and you
in
have
10 years.
People that are finding it, you know, maybe a couple of years out after
oh, that will
you know,
be weird.
Finishing season 6 and maybe even the Netflix revival. Is it going to be weird for you to kind of have like that time capsule of this time in your life and to see, you know, how you were at, I think you guys are at 22 and 26 or 23 and 26, something like that, 27 maybe, which is, you know, it's a really interesting,
now.
I think, time in True. People's lives, their mid 20s. I'm just wondering, you know, how you think that's going to feel a couple of years out and how it's going to feel getting attention from people who are just kind of rediscovering the series on Netflix, maybe because of the Netflix revival, and then also finding your podcast as a nice accompanying piece of media. Anyway, that's it. Keep up the good work, guys. I'm so you know, excited to listen to your thoughts about season 7 especially. And bye.
That's very nice.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting when the show is done and there are still people discovering it. I am not looking forward to people still emailing us about why or tweeting at us about whether or not Michelle is black. And then
I should put down the disclaimer.
I have truly thought it would be wonderful for us to just have a frequently asked questions section of the website.
Oh, let's do that.
Yes. Like, do you guys know Michelle is black? Yes. Do you guys know Sofia Vergara is Colombian? Yes.
That's my bad.
Isn't it crazy? Like, Demi said the yellow wallpaper. Did he mean...
Oh, my gosh, yes.
A good man is hard to find. Yes. Just even things like that.
Yellow wallpaper is better. I love that story.
Yeah. But just like...
And they were all...
Just like, do you guys have merch? Working on it. Are you guys going to come to Blanket City?
Yeah.
Yes, maybe. Don't know. Don't worry about it. You'll know when we do. Do you have any plans to come to? You will know as soon as we know. Just like frequently. I don't know. But that would be... Not that like we hate you guys for emailing, because it's the backstory of all of these is I love you, do more. But like... Sometimes it's like, I don't think people realize that we get these questions a lot. So maybe you'll see a frequently asked questions or something.
Yeah, I think we'll try to record, because the thing is, people tune in to the first like 8 episodes or whatever of the show, and then they check out because they're like, this sucks.
Right.
Or we even just got an email while recording this episode from someone who's like, I listened to the first half of season 1, you guys suck. And then I listened again, season 4, pretty good.
Yeah.
Or nice. Whatever. So maybe like putting a disclaimer with that, we could do that where it's like, blah, 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 season 1, getting our sea legs, skip to a fan favorites, and then maybe come back. Yeah. Also, yes, Michelle is black, we know.
We should just write a song of like, I'm not going to say it because I want to do that.
Okay.
it
will be weird to like have the Twitter account and people are still tweeting and it's going to be like years after the show's done.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be nice, I guess.
Yeah, because I think we'll be doing other things, so it's not like, we both stopped podcasting and it's hard to reach us. Like, we'll still field questions and shit, but like...
What if we go underground? We could do like a once a year reunion episode.
Oh, that would be weird.
Well, we made it. Mm-hmm. Would it be weird? Okay, once every 10 years.
I think...
What can I get you to commit to?
I'll commit to once every 10 years.
Okay.
Or I'll commit to, what's that Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore song, every 10 years?
51st Dates.
Once a decade.
I love 51st Dates.
Yeah, that one was brilliant.
Okay, so after we're done in 2016, you can catch me and Demi doing a podcast together in 2026.
Wait, a whole pot or just an episode?
Or no, a one episode.
I was like, we're
going to
be busy. I was like, Kevin, that's my wedding date.
You're going to have kids by then, man.
What?
Yeah. In 10 years, yeah, you'll have kids.
What?
Hey, that's another part of the question. Do you think podcasts will still be around in 10 years?
I think podcasts are going to be... that is a question.
I think
they'll be around. I think they'll be very different.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be like this anymore.
Non-regulated?
Yeah. I think we're in the... I still think we're in the Wild West era
totally.
Of podcasting.
Jim West, Desperado.
Yeah, it'll probably get more like YouTube, where you get like copyright notices and stuff.
Oh yes.
Whereas right now,
They'll be shorter.
You think they'll be shorter?
I do not think people are going to listen to 3-hour podcasts ever again. I'm surprised they're doing it now.
Why do you not think that?
Wait,
there's
time,
so much.
I think
it's sort of the same as the how people have all these assessments about TV exhaustion now. Like, there's so many good things that I do think that it'll kind of make people naturally bring it in, because it will be a thing. If it's like, if you're putting out a 3-hour podcast each week, you're basically asking people to choose between you and 3 other podcasts they could be listening to. And I think if by shrinking it down, it's like, okay, we can still compete.
Shrinkage,
like, we'll,
yeah.
Shrinkage.
I also think podcasts will go the way of YouTube, the way anything does when it gets popular, where it's like
regulated.
They want to create more of it as frequently. They want to make it their job. So you'll get 3 episodes a week, and you can't do 3 3-hour episodes a week.
Yeah.
So I think.
Right. Same way people turn into like vlogging.
I guess
like
Corolla does
every
like
day,
5 a week,
like,
or that's like the Stern model. Yeah, the vlogging.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, Miranda Sings, guys, coming on Netflix.
Yep.
No thanks.
Did you watch her Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee?
I have watched nothing of her.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounded dismissive. I just don't care for it.
Yeah.
And
I do this thing where I don't seek out bad things. So. I'm weird like that.
It's not. I don't even want to call it bad, because I feel like I have friends who are into that kind of thing. But I have no interest in YouTube personalities.
I have friends that are into crimes. I'm not into that either.
You
have
friends
into crime?
Well, yeah.
I don't know.
Cut those friends.
Not anymore,
Jamie.
They're always like, oh, look at this bank I robbed.
Let's become YouTube personalities.
Yes.
Honestly, do it, and I'll support you. But I also will not watch.
Hey there, guys. Quick cut. It's Quick Cut Kevin and Quick Cut Jamie, and here's sound effects. Are you still watching? You haven't clicked away, have you?
Be sure to like and subscribe. It's right here. The button's right here.
But then,
like,
is our desperation right real? Can you sense it? Can you feel it through your screen? Quick cut.
Or where you come home from war and your dog is there.
Oh. Nice.
Those videos do nothing for me.
Really?
Yeah.
The army
Which
videos
ones?
Do yeah. nothing for you?
Nothing.
Those are the ones that get me. Both my parents were
do
military,
you
though.
Well, I forget. Demi wasn't even born here.
Oh, shit.
That's true. If I saw a royal guard walk home, if the queen was like, I sure do miss Robert, and then a royal guard comes and is like, I'm coming home, tell the world I'm coming home, yeah. I'd lose my shit. I'd lose it.
Oh, man.
No.
When's the last time you cried?
That's a good question. I almost cried leaving work the other day.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because I left my job. Don't want to get into it. It's a good leaving, but I don't want to talk about it just yet. I almost cried watching. What did I watch?
Welcome to the Dollhouse, episode 606.
Yeah, that was a sad one. No, I almost cried watching some movie the other day, but I don't remember what it was.
The Revenant?
It might be tonight when I watch Big Fish.
You're watching Big Fish tonight?
Maybe.
Because Billy Crudup is in it, and he's also in Spotlight.
They shot a lot of that in the Alabama town I went to high school.
Spotlight's really good. Did you like it?
I did. It was one of those movies where I go, like, this is an award winner for sure.
Yeah.
But also, like, I don't have to watch it again. It's not a favorite movie. But
it's not a movie night. Like,
that's
guys,
how most award movies end up being.
Yeah.
Bring the Pop-Tarts and popcorn. We're going to do Spotlight.
That's right,
tonight.
Baby. Double feature, Spotlight and Room.
Boys night out. We're all going to see Spotlight.
Let's do one more voicemail.
Hi there. I've tweeted at you guys before. I'm Geoff or Jeff S. I won't say which. And my question has to do with Kirk. I was having a conversation with some fans about whether his character works. And in my opinion, he's really funny, but he's the least realistic regular character in the show. My case is this. With Babette, Miss Patty, and Taylor, I feel like I really see a broadness of emotion from them. I feel like they're real people I would really meet in a small town, right down to their voices and neuroses. But Kirk feels kind of unreal to me. He has a tragic upbringing, but he seems pretty unaffected. And he lives with his mom, even though he definitely has the financial means to move out. And unless my memory fails, she doesn't have health problems where she can't live alone. It's not like he's taking care of her. Most guys who are emotionally crippled are very withdrawn and sensitive, but the problem is they just kind of use Kirk as comic relief. So he's bold and virile and industrious and always taking up these new jobs. It would even make more sense to me if he, like, showed him realizing a couple times that a job isn't for him and he drops it in kind of a depressed way. Like, anything to connect this habit to what seems to be like it's supposed to be the emotional core of the character, that he's lonely or whatever. People say, like, oh, that's just Kirk, he's so weird. But it doesn't really ring true to me as someone I would ever meet in real life, like anyone else in the show. Anyway, I just want to know your opinion on that because, I don't know, the character's really interesting to me, but it doesn't really work. Anyway, I'm a huge fan of the show and you guys are awesome. Thanks a lot. Bye.
That was a very proper,
very well put together.
It was like
inquiry.
Thank you for sharing your dissertation with us.
It was like, Jeff, if you want to do like an NPR style Gilmore Girls podcast, you could.
You could.
It felt exactly like I was listening to Mystery Show.
It was like Sarah Koenig style. Like, now the thing about Kirk is he's wacky, but he likes emotional groundedness.
Yeah,
I can't do a Sarah Koenig. Cecily Strong has a really good Sarah Koenig. So, okay, Kirk being not realistic, not emotionally resonant the way Babette and Miss Patty. I would argue none of them are meant to be that way, though. We get a little bit of that in Cinnamon's Wake with Babette and, oh, I didn't think anyone would want me, and Maury did, and blah, blah. But
That was the most interesting thing about the question. I thought, I was like, you think the other characters are realistic?
Yeah, I don't know.
They just give more screen time to Kirk, so the more details you get about
I guess
this guy,
true.
You kind of go like, really? He's not even going to get a little bit of realism to him. The most he gets is his nice, like,
crush on Lorelai.
Yeah, and even that's kind of like, okay.
Yeah, that's still a weird reference to.
And he's wildly different from the person that you would imagine would have a crush on. Like, he's wildly different from the nice moment we see of, like, you're the prettiest person I've seen outside of a dirty magazine.
Yeah.
Gross.
So what are we saying?
I agree that Kirk is a bit unrealistic, but it doesn't feel weird to me.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, I think it's just because they never give him any storyline that is like a main part. Like, it's nothing that would show up in the Netflix description. So I don't take fault with it. Unlike TJ, where it's like, He sometimes gets main storylines, but he is always the goofy part of it, so I also believe that.
Oh, here's an email we just got.
I just saw that, yeah.
Lost butt plug?
What?
What?
Wait a minute.
What are you reading?
Oh, that's my personal
email.
That
was a personal email.
Kevin, may I please make your days with my music? Lost butt plug from Elmo Bonner. punkbumfight@gmail.com.
What? I mean, I know you're cutting that out because you just said their email, but yeah, what? How many personal emails do you get about this show?
To my personal account? Very few.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot?
It's not hard to find my email, but like it's such a ways to go that no, not one.
Not one.
Not one.
Yeah, I never do. I don't put my personal email out there though.
Mine's out there and it's like you could assume what it is, but it's just like who wants to email me?
Yeah, yeah. It's mine.
I think a lot of these people would want to email you.
Email me at demi@digiweebay@gmail.com.
If I could.
Don't cut that. I don't care.
Really? I think it would fit in what we're talking about. We actually just got a best of friends email that included a Gilmore Girls factoid.
Oh, yeah.
That people might like to know. It's just a fun little thing. We either, whenever this come out, we either just covered or about to cover the season 5 episode, the one with all the Thanksgivings, with all the Thanksgiving flashbacks.
Oh, no joke. That is an episode I've watched many times because season 5 is the only DVD I have of Friends.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's where we're at now. We'll have to have you on soon. Yeah. But we got an email from someone. I believe the person's name was Myra. But at the
Matt
end of the...
Myra?
Myra Quirk?
Both of those. And then at the end of the email, they just said, and as a fun Gilmore Girls / Gilmore Guys factoid, the ER doctor... in the one with all the Thanksgivings, mm-hmm. is played by none other than Taylor.
Michael Winters. Winters.
Yeah.
Winters is coming.
Yes.
To Friends.
This Thursday on NBC.
This Thursday.
On almost NBC.
That was the promo. That was the promo. Yeah, yeah. Winters is coming.
Yep. Fine.
I thought you were going to call timeout.
No.
Timeout, guys.
Demi had his hands raised apart from each other, and he was either going to call a timeout or clap.
As you do.
Okay, I'm going to read this email, a few emails. This is from Anna. Subject line, we did that. My husband and I proposed to each other. Remember how we were talking about proposing or not proposing and how to do it? We had a plan to propose in
Monica
public
and Rachel
on my birthday.
Or Monica Chandler, rather.
Yeah, sure. Monica and Rachel stuff.
What friends are you watching, man?
That's a fanfic.
Listen. this is a pretty good idea. Well, that fell through, which is fine, except for the part where he told me his plan and how I wasn't getting engaged that day. His point was if I knew he was going to ask and he knew I was going to say yes, then why propose? Mm. Unless I needed him to do the big gesture. And I didn't feel right asking for the whole one knee thing, so we decided to get each other matching engagement bands. And when we got them, we proposed to each other. Imperfect and not the daydream, but the most us thing that possibly could have happened. And so far, so good. We've been together for 6 years, and I let him knock me up.
Yeah.
Let him.
Get it.
It happens all manner of ways. I still get chills when I watch Lorelai propose to Luke, though. Because, that was a big point of contention for some.
That we were like, what?
Well, just about, like, men and women proposing to each other.
Oh, right, Oh, yes, it was a big point.
Yeah, the contention.
Live show. Chris Cubis brought up as a discussion point whether it is weird for women to propose to
men. And I cut it out.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, here's some behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Someone yelled, fuck you for asking that.
What? Come
which
on,
is like,
guys.
He wasn't saying like.
Yeah, it's just a question.
It was literally a point for discussion.
Yeah,
and someone got upset. Which,
come on.
Love the spirit, but maybe
let's
keep it
better.
Also,
let's be reasonable,
I don't have the patience to keep rude people, audience noises in the show.
Yeah, no, right. Totally. That makes sense.
Why you gotta be so rude?
But yeah, it's a fair question to ask just so you can be like, yeah, that's totally cool. Anyone can propose to anyone.
Yeah,
why not?
It's just a jumping off point.
Yeah.
So Justin writes in, I found your show shortly after the reboot was announced. It's quickly become my favorite podcast. I'm only into season 3 right now. Yeah, take it away, Jimmy. No. So the show may be different in the more recent episodes, but I thought of some new possible segments for the show.
Ooh.
Feel free to use any that you like. And I think he's got some really good ideas here, guys. Were you stars? I will hollow. A segment where you talk about townies on the show. Were you deed? I will mahalo. a segment.
Where we talk about Mr. Deeds and 51st Dates?
No, it's where you thank people for performing good deeds, such as making fan art. Where you bleed, I will wallow.
Whoa.
A segment where you talk about someone who gets hurt on the show, physically or emotionally. Where you creed, I will Apollo.
Oh, boy.
A segment where you talk about either the new movie releases or boxing news.
I like that one.
Where you plow, I will follow. A segment where you talk about agriculture. Where you mark, I will Ruffalo.
Oh, boy. We already had that segment today.
Yeah.
We did. A segment where you talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe or Mark Ruffalo.
Or racing.
Where you, Janine, I will Garofalo.
That's great.
A segment where you talk about Janine Garofalo. Where you speed, I will Sao Paulo. A segment where you talk about travels, such as one of Richard's many business trips.
Or Fast and Furious when they go to Sao Paulo and street race.
That's what I thought he was going with it.
Justin is a man after my own heart in that regard. That was very nice, as Borat would say, right?
Very nice.
Who would?
Borat, dude.
I don't know. I don't watch TV too much.
Yeah. Plus he's saying it wrong. I think it's Bort.
Oh, it's Bort.
Oh, from The Simpsons.
The Simpsons, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Bort Simpson.
We're out of my wife license plates.
Let's do one more.
All right.
Oh, this one is from Melanie. It just says, Jason Mantzoukas at 521 is the subject line. She says, sexy tank top over t-shirt still happens today, though it's usually seen by me on Mormon women. Sometimes Orthodox Jewish women. Please let him know, since he loves to look so much.
You want to just forward that one straight to him?
Yeah, I'll send it.
That was a question.
One more, and then we'll be on our merry way and ride off into the sunset.
So here's one email. Christine writes in and says that she has a question specifically for me. She says that watching the show in the way that I'm doing it week to week has got to be a unique experience. Examining the episodes in such incredible depth one at a time without knowing what happens must give me a different perspective. So she asked me, how do I think watching the series this way has affected my perception? And do I have thoughts on how different it would have been if I had binged it? And I think I've said this before on previous episodes, or at least hinted at it, but I think that I probably would like this show a lot more if I binged it.
Definitely. Because
I don't have... Or even if I just weren't giving it critical analysis every week. Because even the idea of having to give it critical analysis puts me in a place of feeling like I don't truly like any episode as much as everybody else seems to. Because if I come in and I'm just like, dude, everything about this episode was great. I really got nothing to say. Wasn't it great when this happened? When it was great when this happened? It's just not natural. It doesn't feel right. And also, I'm coming at this from the place of someone who is not part of the show's demographic. And I don't really have too many things in common with our audience, I feel like. So it's very much coming from a person who is probably predisposed to not like the show as much as other people. Mm. But if I were binging it, I don't have time to think of that. I just go, great, what's the next one? Oh, that's crazy. Reminds me of when I don't have connections that I'm making. I don't have notes that I'm taking as to what I did or didn't like.
Makes it a lot easier to gloss over the negative aspects.
Totally. That's why people who...
Or especially bad episodes, fillers, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you binged it, right?
Yes.
How do you think that you liked it more because you binged it?
I do. Yeah. I mean, I think that makes sense with any show, just because it's, you know, it's sort of in there. There's also the excitement in binging any show, because you're just like, every episode, as soon as it ends, you're like, all right, just one more tonight, one more. Like,
yep.
you're speeding through it. You're only really taking in the positive.
Yeah.
And you're kind of ignoring the negative because it's gone so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in episode by episode, when you have to critique it and stuff, it's, you know, I'm sure you, well, I guess this would be Kevin. Kevin, I'm sure you experienced the same thing on here that we found on the Friends podcast quite a bit, which is like, we realized there's a lot more episodes that we just don't like than we ever thought. Like, not that it's like, they're like, oh, this is terrible, but
because you can
like,
just go to the next one when you're binging.
Yeah, or like, you know, even when you're rewatching, it's like, you know, you're just like, oh, it's in the background, blah, blah, blah. But when you're actually analyzing it, even if it's a show, you're like, oh, I love that show. There's still a lot of episodes you're like, this is just a stinker.
I think when it's live, if you're not participating in discussion culture, you kind of just go, well, that was wasn't bad, but it's still the show. Like, you're almost defensive of it. Yeah. Because you don't have to think. You just go on to the next show.
You don't have to analyze it critically.
Well, okay, so you think you would have enjoyed it more if you binged it.
Yeah.
Should you have binged it? Did we do this podcast wrong?
I will say that I don't think it's a good idea to do podcasts where it's like, maybe the person won't like it, like where it's someone watching it for the first time.
I know, it was such a huge, stupid gamble.
It was a gamble. I mean, it's been fine, but I have no interest in doing that again with more shows, you know?
No. Yeah, that wouldn't be fun.
Right.
Do you think you've ever not binged something and enjoyed it more than you would have if you had binged it?
Yes, I have an answer for this.
Yeah,
if you don't
go for
it, you're gonna go first. I am really glad that I think particularly in shows with mystery, I watched Lost live.
Yeah.
For the entire six seasons it was on, mm-hmm. Which I loved. For the same reason that I watched both seasons now of True Detective live, I really like in shows with a mystery element. I love the week of theorizing and reading fan theories and reading write-ups on it and, you know, just analyzing things and maybe even rewatching that week's episodes to try to pick up on things and put things together. And I think for shows like Lost and True Detective and stuff, I think they're actually much better served with the older model of making you wait, giving things time to sink in, to like put pieces together, talk to people about it. And I even have friends that when they watch True Detective later, like especially the first season, I actually sent them, like as they're watching it, they're binging it still essentially, but I sent them all of the write-ups and the theories to read after each episode to kind of give them that express experience of, you know, building the mystery and trying to solve it yourself and stuff. So I think, I guess, particularly with mystery, I think it's better to not binge it because it gives it time to breathe and you can kind of reflect on things.
I wonder how Breaking Bad would have been if I had binged it instead of watching it live.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the same. There's a mystery element there where there's a lot of things up in the air. And I mean, I'm glad I got to watch that one live as well.
You know what's interesting to both those examples? I feel like I would have liked Lost more if I could just get to the next damn episode. There was so much wheel spinning, especially in the first three seasons, that was so frustrating to watch. And then the way it ended, I know some people love it, some people hate it. But with
Lost, I started watching it live, missed it, caught up in time for the finale. So I sort of had both, and I loved it. I loved it. Like, people were upset about the ending, and I really liked it.
Yeah, I did too. But I think it's, I don't know, I think it's like a grass is greener thing, because I think it seems like you would want to, like, I don't know. There's something frustrating about having to wait a week and stuff, but I think in the grand scheme, it's like, it's for the best, especially with like Lost and True Detective and stuff, when it's like, you want to binge it because you want all the answers, but there's something more rewarding and more fun about having like spending every day, like 6 days in between episodes, like especially now, like reading like articles like on like AV Club and Up Rocks and stuff. Yeah, and looking at people's theories and hearing people find clues and trying to put pieces together and stuff. And at least personally, I really enjoy that aspect of it. I feel like that's like half the fun of a show like that.
With Breaking Bad, I would not have enjoyed it as much if I binged it than week to week. In the very room that we're sitting in, this used to be a much different room. There was a huge couch over on that wall, and mounted up here behind me was a big flat screen TV. The tradition would be every Sunday after work, we would come back here and we would watch that season of Breaking
Bad. That's wild. Yeah. That's how it was for me too. I was living up in Burbank, and we would always go down to the classroom center that we had because they had like a big lounge with all these DVDs that we never watched, and a TV that was connected to DirecTV on the East Coast. So we got the East Coast feed, and we would just, like, I remember we'd watch Breaking Bad, and if anyone said a word, we would all almost unanimously go, "Shut up! Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!"
Yeah.
But it was fun.
Yeah.
I miss that.
But then like that breath during the commercials, like, "Oh,
wow." Yes. That was so
nice. Okay, shut. But compare that to, it's 2 a.m. and you're on episode 6. Okay, just one more in your bedroom on your laptop.
Well, that's why I think
so much better.
Yes.
I think there's benefits to both, cuz if it's a show like that where there are you're waiting for answers in certain regards and stuff, there's something fun about like having to, I think it's also better as like if when you're looking at TV as art, if when you're looking at like actually letting things breathe and reflecting on individual episodes, which are like either 30 minutes or a lot of times an hour worth of work that someone put in, and really giving that the respect of like reflecting on it and thinking on it and talking to people about it and everything, as opposed to just like when a new season of like a Netflix show comes out, it's like within 24 hours, everyone's seen all of it.
Yeah.
And it's fun for like a week, but then like when's the last time you guys had like an in-depth discussion with someone about Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
Like a few days ago, but you know what I mean? Yeah,
it's like, it was when it first came out, it was all, and even House of Cards, it's like, it's all anyone talks about for like a week or so, but then it unfortunately gets just,
there's more of that
relegated.
Media fatigue.
Yeah. It would have been so fun to have like a 13-week wave of Kimmy Schmidt stuff. Because from episode one, it was fantastic. So it wasn't like, give it three episodes or whatever.
I do think, though, with comedies, it's not as...
Exactly.
Binging a comedy is fine because the discussion around it isn't so much more than like, this was so funny, but like...
For the same reason, it's much easier to rewatch comedies.
Yeah. But I think any sort of thing like Breaking Bad or Lost... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just like the event of it.
Yeah, me too.
You guys actually just made me realize that watching Breaking Bad that way was some of the funnest thing I did when I first moved out here. I truly missed that sort of event television.
Yeah, I did the same thing in college with Lost. Like with all my friends, like we would like all gather on. I think it came on Wednesday nights.
I always, when someone brings up Lost, I think of your tweet. Let's get lost tonight. Jacob is the black smoke monster, right?
I don't remember making that tweet.
That's awesome. You totally did.
I'm brilliant. No, I don't remember.
You don't remember that?
That's no, funny. But you know, great for me. I'm going to look it up again and then just go, huh.
Let's get lost tonight. Jacob is the black smoke monster, right? I thought that was terrific. Should we end on that?
I actually do have one more email that I want to read because it's a pretty interesting email.
From my mom.
From Haley, who writes in, "Hey guys, love the show, yada yada yada," her words, not mine. She said that she recently watched Dear Emily and Richard and the thought occurred to her, why did Lorelai not go to Chilton? It is stated several times that Chilton is just 5 minutes away from the Gilmore House, and when graduating, Rory points out all the things donated by dead famous people, making the school much older than Lorelai. I would assume she went to Chilton, but she hardly knows anything about the school when Rory starts, never mentions it. Also in the flashback, she and Christopher are seen wearing maroon and white, not the blue and white of Chilton. Strange. Why didn't she go to Chilton? Is that mentioned?
So it's not that Chilton didn't exist, because Chilton's been around for like a billion years.
Yeah.
She probably didn't have a good enough grades. I would assume it would be that.
Oh, that's possible.
Because there's like an academic requirement. It's not just like, you got enough money?
Yeah. So
that's what I understood it to be.
Although I would think Emily and Richard could have enough money to be able to swing that.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it'd be that.
I don't know.
But the maroon is telling in that episode, unless it's like, it's the 70s or it's the 80s. They had different school colors.
Or like she got kicked out of Chilton.
Yeah, the backstory, the young Lorelai years. Yeah. With that doofus that plays Christopher.
Oh, jeez.
There's no good answer for that other than like, maybe she just didn't have good enough grades.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I bet one of your listeners is already writing an essay on that.
You idiot.
I was answering the question.
Sometimes I want to say I truly would not mind an answer to this question, but I feel like when I ask for that, we get 20 of them. So I will.
If you
just...
guys could all agree on one person to answer.
Yeah, elect an official.
Yeah.
Right. Get yourself a town selectman.
Town selectman.
A representative.
Yeah.
No, but it's fascinating to me. I don't know.
Off Kira writes in. That's the name they're given, so I'm going with that.
Is it like a play on off key? Off Kiera?
Off Kiera. No, it's OFFKIRA. Off Kira. I wonder how no one's mentioned that the true parallel between the Logan, Rory, and Luke Lorelai situations with the rich parents would be Rory breaking up with Logan because of his asshole family. It feels very telling that Lorelai tells Rory to be passive and allow Logan to decide how the relationship goes. As in, let him bolt. If he wants to bolt, let him bolt.
Yeah.
Instead of telling her to sit on it and see if she can handle a relationship with a guy whose family does not approve of her. Lorelai didn't want Luke to bolt. She fought for him. And yet she's telling Rory to stay put and allow another relationship to be decided for her. Maybe because she dislikes Logan so much? Up to this point, for nothing that he has done. The making out at the vow renewal and the casual relationship with Rory's ideas and whatever heartache she suffered was because of her choices. It is an interesting, like, that it is encouraging passivity.
It makes more sense to me, though, if it's... I don't know that it has anything to, I don't know that it's related to Luke and Lorelai. To me, it seems more like following everything that happened with Jess.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like she was the opposite of passive with Jess, and it created a lot of problems. So I think she might just be telling her, like, hey, don't do what you just did. Like, don't repeat the mistake you just made, you know, kind of.
With Jess?
Yeah. At least as far as, like, trying to control things so much, because I feel like that was maybe part of why things went wrong with Jess. Not that she did anything wrong, but just that, like, his reaction to that was to, like, run and stuff. And so I think maybe it is, like, I think that makes sense to me, that it's with Jess, she was kind of in a situation where she wasn't passive or cool enough to, like, let, to, like, see what he wanted and everything. And I think maybe it's just like, hey, maybe just try to chill this time, take it easy, see.
Wait, you think Rory was too active with Jess?
Not really. That's why I think I phrased it wrong. But just that
the ending of all of her relationships has been because she just stood there while someone broke up with her.
Yeah.
Or bolted, or, you know, like, she's never been like, here's what I decide. There is no I choose me monologue here. A la Shondaland.
Yeah.
So it's always, I don't know. And then this, maybe this one, this is pretty loaded, so we'll end on this. This is from, I've said that like five times. Maria says, the primary relationships on the show are between mother and daughter, whether you relate to or care more about Lorelai Rory or Lorelai Emily. I think it's safe to say that's the majority of where the conflict and emotional way of the show resides. Although some people might say it's Luke and Lorelai, right? I don't know.
No, I think it'd be more mother-daughter.
Of course, there are some other important relationships on the show, but mother-daughter is the heart of it. Sometimes when listening to your podcast, I find myself getting frustrated with the way you're discussing conflict between mother and daughter and the way you understand those relationships. And then it hits me. Wait, they obviously they don't see the things the way I do. Quite literally, your podcast is about guys watching Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
But I've always wondered what you about your approach to this part of the show. You've made it clear that this is obviously just your take, not the definitive analysis of the show. But I guess I'm wondering if you ever feel a disconnect to the nature of these relationships on the show.
I'm a bit confused as the first part of all of it. Like, when what is she saying that we are disconnected to? The mother-daughterness of it?
With the way we're discussing it. Yeah.
I don't know.
There's a little more. Maybe this is clarifying. It's been well established that many types of people enjoy Gilmore Girls, and we are capable of placing ourselves into a character's shoes and relating unfamiliar relationships and experiences to things in our lives. So this is not to say that no one else can understand the show, but I think most women would agree that a mother-daughter dynamic is a very specific thing. Mm-hmm. It's not just about figuring out if your mom is a Lorelai or an Emily. My mom doesn't fit the mold of either of these characters, but I can understand why their daughters do or say the things they do. Certain things just make sense when you've experienced it in some capacity. It's been interesting for me to think about how different my experience of the show would be if I wasn't a woman with a mother, you know? I for sure can't understand a mother-son relationship in the way you guys do. I guess I just wanted to get your take on it and see if you've ever found difficulty in discussing these things on the show. Has there ever been a time when a particular conflict or encounter between mother and daughter did not resonate with you simply because there was no reflection of it in your own lives?
I mean, I guess I wouldn't know if it never didn't resonate with me.
Yeah, who could say?
Because I feel like sometimes I think of things as like, God, that's so petty of them, and everyone's screaming into their phones Zunes. Or whatever. They're screaming into their Zunes just like you wouldn't understand. But yeah. I don't think, like, maybe that's so close, like, maybe this is like borderline sexist to me to say, but I don't think a show should ever be something that only someone of a certain set can understand.
I don't think that's Maria's, totally what Maria is saying.
Right, but I'm saying, like, if there's anything in this show that I cannot understand as someone who has never been in a mother-daughter relationship, I think the show should try to wrestle with that itself before it's ever shot. I don't think it should be, if there's something, like, they should make it palatable to people who are not in
Paladiniable.
Yeah, paladiniable to people who are outside of the group it's trying to depict. I think that, I truly believe that every mother-daughter, like, conflict they've depicted is something that we should be able to grasp as people who are neither mothers or daughters.
Yeah, I think your guys' show, by definition, is, it's an outsider look at, you know, the central story, even if it's, you know, I guess the main story that we said is mother-daughter. And I think that, you know, by nature, having two guys kind of chronicle their journey through the show is sort of like you're outside of the target demographic. But I think, like Demi said, it's, you know, they should still, and I think they do, it's still it's still approachable for everyone, and it resonates with everyone. But I think that's, you could kind of find that in any show. There's always going to be people that relate to things more by nature of, you know, who they are or what they are. Mm-hmm. Just in the same way that, you know, if you have like a show that centers on all, you know, males or something, I'm sure there would be certain parts of it that resonate more with men, but it's also not going to keep, it's not going to make it so that only men can enjoy watching it.
Right.
And I think Gilmore Girls does a good job of that. I mean, it's certainly enjoyable for everyone to watch, even if there are things that we might not pick up on as, you know, someone who isn't like a daughter or something.
I also think that there are a lot of men who see the show the way that all of the women that write in to say that we are not seeing it a certain way, like they see it that way too. So I think it's just specific to us. Mm-hmm. The way that we are seeing the show as
is different than the way other men see the show.
Well,
I think that
the things that we see that we quote unquote don't get of mother-daughter relationships are not because we're men. I think it's because of who we are. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that there are other men who absolutely describe their relationships with their parents in a very similar way. Like, there are people who will write in and be like, yeah, my mother's something of an Emily. Yeah. Or they'll write in and be like, I had a sort of Emily Lorelai relationship with my mother. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just the way that either we grow up or the way that we see television. Yeah. Or just, I don't think it's specific to our gender. I think it's very specific to literally how we see the show.
I guess. I wonder what the specific things would be.
I don't know.
That I'm missing. And also, it's interesting too, because, and I think
some people
do
write in and say, like, you don't understand the people hate my take on Christopher, but like people will write in and say, like, you don't understand the Christopher thing because you don't understand what it's like to not have a father that's absentee like that. And I mean, like, that's such a specific thing that I don't think it's me not knowing what that feels like. I think it's me not seeing that as an issue because Rory doesn't seem to carry it with her as a burden.
Right.
So as someone who is not seeing this under the cover, like as someone
who... The show's not telling you to care about it in a way different than what you're giving.
So I can't bring that up as a problem every time he shows up.
It's like an extra textual baggage.
Yeah. Well,
I think any kind of art too is an interactive experience, and you can't, just because you get something from something doesn't mean that other people are missing it or that, you know, you're even supposed to get something from. I mean, I think there's a lot of things in TV shows that are just, you know, people identify with for a variety of different reasons. And a lot of times I think it's stuff that the people that made it didn't particularly even intend. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, you see something, even if it's, well, I mean, here's another thing. I bet people that went to Yale have a completely different watching experience
That's
of the show of
true.
Other people because there's a whole nother level that, you know, they...
It's not just that hallway.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's, you know, regardless of anything, and, I you know, somewhere out there, there's an enormous Paul Anka fan who probably...
Right.
who probably sees it and, you know, they get different things from it too. So, I mean, I think that everyone...
I was going to say they might see Paul Anka things that the dogs... Like, they might see, like,
exactly.
Oh, he doesn't like fat. I was like, Paul Anka didn't like fat.
Either.
Like, maybe it's a super in-joke. Yeah. Who knows?
That's why I think every unique individual has a different experience when they approach any kind of art.
Yeah.
And I don't think TV shows or Gilmore Girls are any different than that. You're always going to pick up on things that... No one else in the history of watching that show maybe has noticed or picked up on just because it resonates with some deeply innate part of you.
Right? Yeah, and the question is, I guess, do we think about that and struggle with that in, like, talking about the show? I think the answer is mostly no.
Yeah.
Until someone says, do you struggle with that?
Yeah.
Or you know what I mean? Like,
that's part of the struggle with it until we're in this discussion right here.
Yeah,
right.
But I think that's actually a really cool thing about podcasting and the internet and everything is that, like, that's how you guys find out about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Is when someone writes in and they're like, did you notice this? Like, I'm a big Paul Anka fan and I noticed this thing that the dog did one time. And that's like one of the coolest things is when people who are also fans of the show you're covering, because we encounter the same thing on Friends, is like people that are also such huge fans of this thing that you're all kind of collecting around, like they clue you in on things that you've never even noticed or thought about or examined, as far as like with the Chilton thing, you just, yeah, the Chilton question, like you're like, you know, we never really even considered that. It's just a new thing that someone brings to the table.
And I just want to say too, as far as like emails for the show go and people writing in general, Maria and everyone who's like left a voicemail and everyone who's emailed us, and obviously I don't have like experience with it, like as compared on the other show that we've done or mm-hmm. something, but people are just very generous with parts of their lives with us in a weird way.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it's like, oh, my husband and I did this proposal, or I was struggling with a relationship like this, and it was like Logan in this way or Justin yeah, that way, yeah. Or I have a loved one who has cancer right now, and you know, I listen to the show to cheer me up, and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
People are just very, very unbelievably generous in just sharing parts of their lives with us, and in this discussion, and bringing up questions like this. So it's something we're very grateful for.
Nice.
Should we end on a silly bit? I feel like.
I love the French.
Yeah, why don't you bring Mr. Kim back in for a second?
Nope.
I can't.
Unfortunately, Mr. Kim has to go back into that closet.
Oh. Yes. Oh, yeah. Where is Mr. Kim?
He's locked in that damn closet from the Nature Must Wait kid.
Well, Gilmore, guys.
We've
listeners,
had a lot of fun.
We've had
today.
A lot of laughs. This is the last episode of the podcast. Thank you for joining us. We're ending early on that really.
On a Gil mail.
We can end on it.
Go
no,
out with a whimper,
weird.
Not with a bang.
This was not a whimper, sir. This was an extraordinary journey. Why can't I find what I'm looking for? Bono.
I was just going to say that.
So you can always email the show, GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com.
Real quick, does anyone have any plugs? Say it over the music because we already started.
Like pop culture plugs?
Yeah.
I'll plug
Mozart in the Jungle.
I'll plug the music of Sam Phillips.
Ooh,
Samuel
nice.
Phillips, a great guy.
Shit.
You guys heard of this Hamilton play?
Yeah, Hamilton.
The play? Yeah, I love the play.
I'm stressing, dude. I can't think. Work It? That NBC show? No, can't do that. That was bad.
Superstore is pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Colton Dunn is hilarious.
I love Colton
He's
Dunn.
He's so funny.
Oh, I mean, we'll talk about this. Yeah, I love Colton Dunn.
Yeah.
Call us at 772-934-4559. 772-934-4559. 772-WE-GILLY.
Done.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.